This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the end of the program. We are happy you chose to worship with us today and invite you to join us every Sunday on this station.
Brothers and sisters do not always agree, but there is never a question about who their father is. We're going to talk about that in the sermon today. We ask you to stay tuned. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for another Lord's Day, where we can hear your word, whether it be in the church, on television, or the radio. Grant, O God, that that gospel may ring clearly, and that we may understand that in Christ you are our Father forever and ever. Strengthen us in that relationship with you, and may we be drawn closer to you by the power of your Spirit. For we ask it in Jesus' name, and for his sake, amen. Continuing our study in the book of Galatians, we turn to the third chapter, beginning with verse 26, where St. Paul writes to these people, "You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about
Friends in Christ, we live in a world that in some ways is growing smaller and smaller by the day. Let me illustrate. In 1942, it took 18 hours to travel from Boston to Chicago on one of the best trains that was running. Today, it is less than 2 hours from Boston's Logan Airport to Chicago's O'Hara. When I was a student at Dana College in Blair, Nebraska, I wrote home to my folks. They lived in Westbrook, Maine. It took 3 days for a letter to go from Nebraska to Maine. Today, via email, it's 3 seconds or less. It says that our world is getting smaller. The distance doesn't mean anything. Not long ago, people from the Far East and Mideast were strangers to the average American, and we wondered what kind of people they were. Today, we know them as some of the finest surgeons that we have in our hospitals and some of the most gifted people that are on the faculty at our universities. So we're beginning to understand, as we get closer together, who these people are. Once we felt that the mighty oceans protected us from our enemies. We didn't have to worry, for there was the Atlantic and the Pacific. Today we are told that this is no longer true, and we must be prepared to intercept the missiles that could come to our land and destroy our cities. The world is getting smaller. Distance is minimized, and that makes the world smaller. But on the other hand, there are millions of people who were once complete strangers, and today they are now neighbors, and our world is growing larger because there are more people around us. What a big, big world! All of a sudden, Europe is our next-door neighbor. Because in one sense of the word, the world has grown smaller. What has brought us together as the people of this world? Well, negatively speaking, war. War has brought us closer together. I talked with a young man here some time ago who had never been more than 50 miles from his home. The farthest away from home he had been was Des Moines, Iowa. And then he was drafted into the military and was sent to Germany to fight. There he was, thousands of miles away. And when the war was over, and the correspondence with their relatives in Germany began again, this man knew that during those days, if he were not fighting his cousins, there were those who knew his cousins. That draws us closer together. On the positive side, education has drawn us very close together. We're not so different in many cases when we begin to study with these brothers and sisters. The differences that we have might be there because of our different backgrounds. But sure enough, these are people who are worth getting acquainted with. These are people who can enrich your life. Over the past weekend, I visited with my two grandsons, Dane and Sam. Dane via the email, and Sam, who was home after an interesting semester in England. Dane was there studying the Spanish language prior to going to medical school. And Sam is there in England as the second semester of his sophomore year. Both of them said the same thing. Gramp, you have to be here to know what these people are like. They're really wonderful. We really enjoy them. We hope to keep on with this relationship as long as we live. It draws us closer together. Economically, we are drawn closer together. Big corporations do not just limit their sales anymore to the United States. They'd be out of business if they did. But they have big business plans around the world. And it is not unusual that a friend will say to me, I got to take a trip to China tomorrow. Or I've just returned from India. Interesting, isn't it? And the world grows smaller and smaller because these places are closer to us. But then it also puts us in contact with thousands and hundreds of thousands of people. And for that reason, it grows larger. Well, there is much good that has been done to make our world as unified as it possibly can. I really have enjoyed being a part of a service club that spends a lot of time in sending students overseas to study there and to learn what is going on in their various cultures. And we enjoy having these people come to the United States too. There is a tremendous need for all of our programs that help bring us closer together, especially in the positive sense of the word, that we are created in the image of God. And in God's eyes, all of these people are very important and precious. And that leads us to our text today. For here, we're talking about unity at its deepest level. Listen to what St. Paul said to that Galatian congregation. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. This is unity in its deepest level. An educational program, an economic mission, or even a war can probably bring us together. But there is nothing as unifying as Paul brings out here today when we sense a oneness with Jesus Christ our Lord. For this is a oneness that binds us together in spirit, where our souls have been bearing out to one another. We have confessed our sins to one another. We have found our only hope in Jesus Christ our Lord. Well, that's what Paul was talking about, because he had experienced a bit of difficulty between that unity and the members of the congregation at Galatia. For example, in those congregations, there were those who were Jewish Christians. They were Christians, but for some reason or other, they wanted to hang on to the law. It was necessary for their children to be circumcised according to the Jewish rites. It was necessary for them to take care of obligations when it came to ceremonies and so forth. There were dietary laws that they had to abide by. They thought that was a part of their tradition, and it was so hard for them to give that up, or not having to give it up, just to say that it was not the most significant part of their faith, that they could not, for some reason or other, be united in the real sense of the word simply by trusting God and the giving of his Son, Christ Jesus, our Lord. They had their traditions. They had worshiped in a particular way, and that way had to be it, or else there was no worship, they said. It was offensive to the Israelites when Paul said to them, "You are all one, but that oneness comes only in Jesus Christ. It does not come through a ceremony. It comes through a living faith in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord." Way back 2,000 years before Jesus was born, Abraham, the father of the Jewish people, was given a promise. And the promise was this: "Abraham, I'm going to bless you, and you're going to be a blessing to many. For you're going to become the father of a great nation, and one day out of that nation there will come one, the God incarnate, the Lord Jesus Christ." Abraham did not know it that specifically, but there would come one who would be the very center, the foundation of the kingdom of God on this earth. And so the times had gone by, 2,000 years, and in the fullness of time, St. Paul writes to the Galatians, there came into this world the Lord Jesus, and it was he who was the one who could bind them together. Now they were not just Jewish people, a little group all by themselves, but their world had grown much bigger. For what God was saying to them was, when you trust Christ, then all of these Gentiles who trust Christ too are your brothers and sisters. It was kind of hard to take, but gradually some of them got over it. The Holy Spirit did his work, and they had this great communion in Jesus Christ, their Lord. And so it is today. We have had a great deal of trouble with divisions, and we have not known exactly how to deal with it within the church. Some person had to worship exactly as I did. And Paul would say, no. Just that you trust Jesus Christ. Now listen to me carefully. I'm talking about the Christian family. I am not endorsing this, that it doesn't matter what we believe, just as long as we believe something, or that we are all one. I may have a unity of some kind with a person who belongs to a non-Christian religion. My wife once had a doctor who was not a Christian, but he was a very faithful member of his religion. We could experience some kind of a unity in that he was a very excellent physician, and we thank God for him. But the basic unity that could be ours in Jesus Christ alone was lacking. It's that basic unity that I talk to you about today. A husband and a wife can be unified in so many different ways. They can come from similar cultural backgrounds. They can have attended the same college or university. They may have likes that are exactly the same. Heaven forbid, but they say that in some cases their likes were just exactly the same. They have a family that unites them. But it is not until the husband and the wife is united in Jesus Christ, where before God Almighty, as a husband and wife, they have confessed their sins to God and to one another, and have placed their faith in Jesus Christ, that they can say that we have experienced unity on its deepest level. It is only Jesus Christ who can bring the walls down until we are one. I've told this story, I think, probably a half a dozen times during the 40 years that I have been on the radio. Well, it happened after I started, so maybe the last 25 years. But I want to tell it to you again. A review, perhaps, for some of you, and a new story for others. The war was over, but the wall was still up that divided East and West Europe. We were in the eastern section of Germany. My wife and I, together with some of our friends, were visiting Wittenberg. And we were by the castle church door where Martin Luther nailed up 95 theses. Our guide had been a rather distant person, not too accommodating until that point. And then as I stood there one day at that wall where Luther nailed the 95 theses, I sensed that there was somebody standing behind me. I turned around and looked, and her name was Esther. She was a lady perhaps 10 years younger than I. And she said to me, "This is holy ground." And I turned around and looked at her, for I certainly thought she must be a communist if she had that position. And I said to her, "Esther, you can't be a Christian." With a smile on her face and a light in her eyes, she said, "By the grace of God, I am." And then I said to her, "Then you are my sister, for there is no difference between Germans and Americans if you are in Christ Jesus." And she turned to me and said, "You're in a beautiful language, and you are my brother." Oneness in Christ. There was a unity there at its deepest level. And in the remaining days that we were with Esther as our guide, there was no difference as far as many other things were concerned. We sensed a oneness in Jesus Christ. We might not have seen things exactly the same, but I think it does prove to us, doesn't it, that brothers and sisters do not always agree, nor do they have to. But there is never a question about who our Father is. And there's never a question about who our Savior is. For that is Jesus Christ our Lord. And so Paul could say so well, if you are in Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. That's the gospel. Amen.
Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. While the hope of endless glory fills my heart with joy and love, teach me ever to adore thee. May I still thy praise. from danger, interposed his precious blood. Oh, to grace how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let that grace now like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it for thy courts above.
Father, we thank you for that unity that we can experience in Jesus Christ. Help us, O God, to take those teachings that can sometimes so divide us, and help us that we can be united in that common relationship that we have in Christ, that we are able to come to Him, to cast our cares upon Him, to find the solution to our divisions in Christ alone. Lord Jesus, for coming and doing all of this for us, we give you our thanks. In your name we pray. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We thank our faithful listeners for your generous support. Your gifts allow us to bring the greatest news that ever was, the gospel of Jesus Christ, to listeners throughout the world. Christian Crusaders publishes a quarterly newsletter called The Crusader. This publication contains a special article written by Pastor Larson, our executive director and board president, as well as other interesting information concerning this ministry. If you would like to receive this mailing, please call our office at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. You may also write us at Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our website address is ChristianCrusaders.org. That's ChristianCrusaders, all one word, .org. Cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of $2.50 will cover production and mailing costs. Address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and Radio Pastor of Christian Crusaders, now in its 69th year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.